All right. Welcome everybody. This is the 5 o'clock call for our second module 9 call. So we're all about the inner compass, what that looks and feels like, what that offers us. Today's going to be quite interactive. So hopefully you've got pen and paper handy because we're going to be doing some reflections and some sharing. Let me share my screen. What we're all going to talk about. So today we're going to just revisit the purpose, the aims of this module, why the heck we're here. And I just do this all the time, right? Because I need to hear everything about 3 or 4 times. So I'm sure you do too. And also, if wanting to, oh yeah, Julia, do take care of yourself. Yeah, that second jab can be pretty horrific. But we're also wanting to kind of shift the focus a little bit. After last week, we really looked at what it's like for us as coaches and how our challenges show up and how we can use the compass approaches and tools and concepts to support ourselves. And we're going to shift our focus today to our clients, to your specific clients, and how we can start to really generate some ideas for how to market to your clients, how to work with them, how to turn someone who's a prospective client into someone who actually wants to work with you. So I love a bit of navel gazing, but I'm totally down for taking these concepts and making them actionable and implementable very quickly. So for those of you who really like to kind of hit the ground running, then what I'm hoping is that this module in particular and this call put some pieces together for you and for how you can use this process to really reach out to your clients. Okay, good fun. So I just want to check in before we kind of revisit. The homework for last week was to take some of the challenges that you might have reflected on during our session to your own practice pods and look at these tools. Maybe you've had a chance to do that, to actually coach someone using the compass tools. Maybe you've just been reflecting yourself. But I'm just wanting to check in with folks. It can be really helpful just to share your own experience, what's coming up for you, what you're noticing, how it's feeling to start playing with these concepts and bringing them to life. So does anyone just want to share what's coming up? Yeah, Steph, go for it.
So we in our practice pod last week, it was awesome. We did some coaching and kind of the intention was to use these tools, but we ended up going more into the mapping, the conflict tools and stuff. And I guess my which was good. I need to practice with that too. But I guess my question is, you said something last week about how we work with the self-doubt first and then we kind of transition into working with the compass. I wonder if you could elaborate on that a bit about how that might work or when to use,
Yeah, sure. It's
when
a great
not to.
question. Yeah. And
Thanks.
I just love that you kind of go with the conflict stuff, right? Because that's what's showing up. So it's all good. It's all perfect. So the reason that we spend the earlier parts of our coaching relationship talking about our client's self-doubt is that often what I have found is that people need to kind of make sense of that and sort of organize it in their minds that, oh, this is showing up for a really good reason. And it makes sense that I'd be responding in this way, that I'd hold these beliefs about myself and the world and other people, and that I'd be responding in this way. So what those early tools help our clients to do is to put some context around their beliefs and behaviors that they may not like right now, right? That's usually the reason that they're coming to coaching. But it also means that when we do start working with them around the compass tools, which is more about, you know, really helping them to activate those resources within themselves, that they can see that it doesn't matter that they've got self-doubt, those things can coexist. So usually there has been some discussion around the different parts of us, the different aspects of our psyche, through the course of just looking at the root causes of self-doubt, about why self-doubt might be showing up in the way that it is in the present moment. But what I've found and what I just recommend, and it's never a blanket rule, is that we start kind of our coaching relationship by normalizing the client's experience, helping them to feel reassured that there isn't anything wrong and that they can feel resourced to respond in different ways. There's no rush for that. There's no huge, like, most of our clients will come in saying, right, where's the magic pill? Right, where's the button I push? Where's the moment where the epiphany strikes, right? And, you know, our work is all about, like, it's in these tiny moments where you make different choices. And for you to make those different choices, usually you need to know what the different choice is, because when it is an automatic response, it doesn't feel like a choice. It just feels like, that's who I am. So we do it in that order because I think that just helps the client to contextualize their experience. And there's a bit more ease into, hey, let's vision board your future. You're not going to be met with blah, because the client's already saying, oh, actually, it's okay for me to dream even while I'm feeling this kind of, you know, difficulty. Yeah. Having said that, next week, we start our final module, which is all about courage-based goals and courage-based plans and, you know, achieving them. And you could start with that, right? Even though that's where we're ending, you could literally start with that and then see what comes up along the way. So do not take anything I'm saying as like a blanket rule. It's more, you know, get a sense of where your client's at. That's what I found, generally speaking, for folks with self-doubt, is that there needs to be some contextualizing before we then start going, hey, let's play with possibility. Because for a lot of clients, they're like, whoa, Nelly, that's not even my life. So, yeah. Does that make sense, Steph?
That's so helpful. I kind of imagined it like the client comes to you and you kind of just, I mean, maybe we know that there's going to be self-doubt that creeps up because we know it will, but we start with them being like, cool, you seem like you're in a healthy place. Let's just set some goals and see what happens. And then they start to stumble perhaps. And then they're like, okay, let's sure. dive into it. I think that's how clients mostly come to me. Like, they think they're all gung ho and then it starts to creep in. So yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
It's a great thing to hold for yourself as well. Like, you know your clients best, right? So you could absolutely start with, what are your goals and how do we go ahead with those? And then kind of warning them. And self-doubt is probably going to pop up. So let's really pay attention to that, you know? Yeah. Amazing.
Thanks.
Awesome. Great question, Steph. Thank you. Anyone else want to chime in or just share? Yeah, Melissa.
Hello, everyone. First on the homework pods, I just want to offer that our pod has kind of decided we're going to do the tools after we finish. We've had a really good conversation, but we're all kind of in the situation like, where are we at? And everyone filled with self-doubt that we're behind. And right. So we sort of had a group epiphany that we would go back in the months after we finish and do the tools and coach each other. So I offer that if that's also valuable for other people, because it was like we're talking them through and thinking, but then should we be coaching each other? Okay, let's commit. We'll start coaching on the tools continuing. Yeah. It doesn't end at the end of this month. So that was...
It absolutely doesn't, which means you can't ever be behind,
yeah.
Right? Okay. Like, the whole process of the practice pods is designed to help give you a space where you can have longer conversations, coach and play with the tools, share what's coming up for you, and have someone who really, you know, understands exactly where you're at. So yep. Have at it.
Yeah. And having said that, I did coach last night, completely imperfectly, imperfect, with a client that came And it was clear that there was sort of some overworking, feeling tired, and I thought I heard the protector. So let's try this visualization. The protector was an ex-boss who was protecting her. So it kind of didn't really work as self-doubt, but it was someone who was protecting her from worried about her health and burnout. So that actually was quite interesting. And then, Sess, I was trying, there was boundary. So I was trying to remember, what's the boundaries tool? And I said, okay, let's work on boundaries. And I couldn't remember the tool. So we just kept.
Remember the tool? You probably only looked at it once.
She just kept talking about, and she just kept spilling out, well, it's complicated and toxic and I'm aligned professionally. So I effectively just was writing things down like your dilemma exercise. Just letting her talk. And at the end she came with, yeah, I think I want to be healthier. So we said, okay, homework, create a vision board for your healthy self. So it was just really all over the shop, but it seemed to come out with something. I just offered that.
I
can't remember what it is. Just keep going.
Well, I just love this example, right? Because I think that's what happens when we first start out, is like, it is a bit hodgepodge.
It does
feel a little bit like I'm throwing stuff at a wall and seeing what sticks. You're describing like this is the trajectory, right? And so part of that SOAP reflection process and that we looked at in module 7 is, you know, and so what would I want to do differently next time? Right? Like maybe you just want to have a couple of tools that you have available to you on your screen if it's a Zoom call. So you can just go, hey, give me a second. I want to find a template that I think would really help you. And so you bring it up. You give yourself a moment to breathe and then you work off the tool. Right? Yep. I used to do that all the time. Yeah. No one expects you to have everything memorized, right? Least of all your
boundaries. Just keep talking. And what's that like for you?
Yeah.
This is my boss. But anyway, it was exactly a hodgepodge.
And so
there's a reflection for me, which I did last night, what I would have wanted to be more intentional.
And I would really offer that when you're starting out with this stuff, that one of the ways to do that is get your client to play that game with you. So you set out before you even meet, what are we talking about today?
Okay. Ask, because I've always CTI gone, what's the topic in the moment? No pre. Maybe asking them in advance.
If you love that, but actually I found our clients like to be more intentional than that. Right?
So we're going to be meeting next week. Even 2 days. What do you want to focus on? What's coming up for you? What are your challenges?
You know, remember CTI came out of the improv land, right? So that's great for theatre majors. But for those of us who like, you know, a bit more structure.
Yeah, and don't like to do the balance coaching. Exactly. You're a giraffe.
Exactly. So it's all about like continuous improvement. Like, okay, well, how can I support myself next time, but better? And you would never have made that improvement if you hadn't had that experience.
Yeah. Thank you.
It all works. Amazing. Thanks, Melissa. That's cool. Okay. All right. So it's cool, right? It's like great to hear these questions coming up, and it's like, there's no right way. I mean, I'm hoping that most of us have sort of semi-dropped the story that there is there is a right way there, you know, and a necessary right way. And that all of this improvement comes from, and mastery really comes from, just keeping showing up, keeping on trying, keeping seeing, you know, experimenting, seeing what works. What works for some clients won't work for others. And it's all lovingly detached from the outcomes is a good thing. All right, so let's just revisit this image, which I'm hoping you're getting quite familiar with now, the framework that we're playing with in a bit more depth in this module. And really all we're trying to do through this module is help the client internalize really positive resources, right? They've been experts at internalizing, you know, the voices of everyone else who's probably offered some protective or quite sometimes quite negative or critical feedback where they haven't really had the capacity or the resources to be able to make sense of that and respond to it. We want to give them other resources that can really make sense of that stuff in a way that, that supports them. So at the center is the healthy adult self. That's the part of us that kind of coordinates these four resources. So it's at the center of the compass, and it's the part of us that knows where to lean, right? What's the most helpful resource I can lean into? Is it self-worth, self-acceptance, self-belief, self-trust? What would help the most here? And the healthy adult self looks after the protector. The protector never goes away, but the healthy adult self can look after the protector and recognize that even when we're leaning into these other resources, there's probably going to be some shadowy shit in there as well, right? So the critic, the martyr, the scapegoat, the bystander might show up. They're all supposed to be happening that way. And really, you know, the three R's are what we're aiming for here, right? We want to reassure the client that their self-doubt makes total sense. There's always a good reason for it. And sometimes we just need to keep asking some questions to find out where it's come from and why it's here. We want to help them reflect, sort of take them out of their lives and into a coaching session where they can get some perspective and make sense of their experience, kind of organize their mind around this. And we also want to help them to feel resourced. That's kind of the main aim, right? That's the main sort of purpose of the compass and really of self-belief coaching, is to help the clients see that they are always in choice, that they can lean into their healthy self to take the next step. Maybe an action, might not be. And when they do that, they're able to access these more helpful resources, these more helpful parts of themselves. And these four compass points just give them, like, they're like guideposts to those more healthier parts. When they can see that they can always take a breath and access those parts, they're always in choice, it means that the coaching itself expands a little more, right? It's not about kind of point solution type coaching where we're all like, here's a challenge, here's where you are, here's where you want to be, let's beat you up on the way to getting there, right? We do more than that. We're actually taking our clients on a bit of a developmental journey where they grow their own awareness of who they are, of their survival strategies and their protective beliefs and behaviors. They have the context to understand why they're there. And we can help positively impact their sensitivity to particular risks. So they're no longer kind of responding with all the P's, with the procrastination and the paralysis and the people pleasing, et cetera. And what it means is that over time, we start to help the client to develop a new level of automatic response, right? So it's their healthy self that becomes the automatic responder rather than their protective self-doubt. So it just changes the flavor of things, right? We have a kind of meta mission as well as a more specific client-based one. So what I really want to do is help you to put all of this into context for your specific client group. So what we're going to do is a couple of just self-reflective writing exercises, just to play with some questions that can really help to bring this around. What I'm hoping is that by the end of this session, you'll be able to make the link between the challenges your clients are facing, how you can support them, like what you know about those challenges, and specifically like how you help them, like what actually happens to assist the client to kind of make that change that they want to make. So let's start by reflecting a little on what are the main challenges that your particular clients are facing. And for anyone who is like, oh, I'm not really sure who my client group are quite yet, just have a think about, what do you notice about the clients that you've loved working with? What are the challenges that you like to support them to solve? What are the particular tools, either the self-belief tools or maybe tools that you've had been trained in other coaching settings? What is it you like to do as a coach, and what are those challenges that those clients are facing right now? You've just been a couple of minutes jotting down as many of those challenges that your clients are facing as you can think of. And as you think about your clients' challenges, ever think about what you see your clients, how you see these challenges kind of manifesting in your clients. So what are they thinking, feeling, saying, and doing? So one of the ways I like to do this is to put it in a grid, which I've just shared my screen. So you can kind of divide your page up and just put some bullet points around this. This really helps to kind of clarify what's going on for your clients. then just the final question in this little part is to just read back over what you've jotted down and just consider, what do you think the client's protector believes about their challenges? So think about your client's protectors and what do they believe about what the client's facing right now? What's the voice of your client's protector saying to them? Okay, so what are you noticing about what's coming up? What are there any patterns? Is there anything that surprises you? Any clarity you've got? Anyone just want to share anything that they're coming up with? Might be half-formed thoughts, that's totally fine. Yeah, Laurie.
Just a lot of thoughts from the protector about how you can find something that will make you just as happy without having to go through all of the mess and the murk and the conflict, right? That the mess and the murk and the conflict must mean like you're not heading in the right direction.
Right.
For you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think this, just that place of even when you do get some clarity, right? Where you kind of start to even doubt some of the things that you've been trusting, which is sort of how it feels in the body, maybe to move towards something or, you know, that things can get kind of confusing. And I think that for my particular clients, that's a really big thing.
Right. Yeah. It's because it's all about, for your people, it's like, can you allow it to suck for a bit?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be different. So it's going to go against all of the ways that you try to keep yourself safe. You're probably going to start to contradict that or to challenge that. It's going to feel shitty for a bit.
It's going to feel maybe contradictory. That's exactly it. Like, oh, I thought this was the truth that I've come to know in me. But wait, now it's being challenged.
Yeah.
You know, and how can I kind of get to that place of understanding what is the feeling of clean kind of emotion in the body that may actually also feel like shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think you're speaking to something that is so important, right? For folks to recognize that, because so many of us have been a bit gaslighted, I think, by this whole trust your gut feeling. When I'm like, actually, I'm not sure that's the most reliable source of truth here, you know, because it sometimes your gut feeling is going to say, this is horrible. But it actually could be exactly what you know you need to do to try and create what you actually think you want. So it's sort of like, can you be with that discomfort? And also, we make that discomfort out to be this insurmountable, awful thing, right? And it's often in the smallest, most doable moments that that we actually make new choices and think, oh, actually, I can do that again. Yeah. So cool. I think there's so much for you to explore there, Laurie, around, you know, what are your clients maybe thinking and believing about where they're at and, you know, kind of why they wouldn't be seeking out help?
Mm-hmm. So why they may want to, or they keep trying to do it on their own, because they are pretty resourced, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it's this aspect of moving, kind of dancing to the edge of risk, yeah, or right, this change that they want to make, yeah, and staying in the dance around it that starts to become exhausting through research. And but they kind of think that they know they're capable enough to do it. Their healthy part of them really knows they're capable.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah. It's kind of mending that relationship too, right?
And someone mentioned on the call this morning that she just recognized that, it was Susie on the 8 a.m. call was saying that she just really got to grips with the idea of saying to a client, you have everything in you that you need. And then her immediate thought was, well, if that's true, why the hell do they need me, right? But she sort of made sense of, you do have everything in you, but you may not know that you do, and you may not know how to access that, or to kind of be with it, right, to really own it. And so that's why, you know, we seek out someone to help us advocate for ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm so fascinated too, Sass, by the physiological aspects too in the body. I don't want to go off, but just like what that conjures up in the system and the nervous system. And again, like how we fetter out some of these things that have been long held patterns in the body, and how that transmutes into our decisions. And I don't know,
it could be your gut feeling. It could be suppressed trauma. It could be that you're just feeling really bloody nervous about this, right? It could be reminding you of an experience that maybe isn't trauma, but wasn't great. So all of that can coexist in a body. Our bodies like hold our memories. Like that's just madness when you think about it. So, like really playing with that. Is it true right now? What's going on? You know, can you bring your healthy self to this moment? And how, and even if it is related to stuff in the past, do you want that past you to be in charge of you right now? Or do you want to try something else? And what's the softest, most kindest way you can do that for yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that question.
So good. And this is the thing, I think, when we start playing with this, like really getting into the nitty gritty of how this stuff shows up for our clients, it gives us something quite real to talk about. So we move past the kind of cliched, you're enough, I believe in you type stuff, and into, the client is saying, oh, you really do believe where I'm at. Like, you don't have to say to a client, you're enough, I see you, because the client's like, huh, if that's true, maybe I am enough. Maybe I feel like you do see me. I want to chat with you, right? So it's all of that. You know, we aren't lazy to kind of say the you are enough thing. We're a bit more interested in, and how might you make sense of that, dear client? What might that look like for you? What might that feel like for you? Where is that not showing up for you? So it just becomes a bit more real and a bit grittier, you know? We're sort of unafraid to ask the question, is this happening for you? Maybe it's this, you know? seeing what happens. And the more clients that you work with, the more that you build up this kind of profile of who your clients are before they coach with you. Love that, Laura. So that's really cool threads to pull on for you. Yeah. Anyone else want to share patterns they're seeing, themes that are coming up? If that makes sense. Yeah, Jamie.
Hello. Hello. First, just a quick note on that discussion. One of the things I think is really interesting about this question of trusting your gut and the physiological stuff and everything is for people who have dealt with eating disorders and how that impacts this whole, like, trust your gut, listen to your body's wisdom discussion. I think that's really fascinating. Yeah. And that, of course, goes back to the trauma and everything, but it's not as simple. Like, I am a big believer in, like, listening to your body's wisdom and all that, but it's not as simple for that, as simple as that for everyone. So just a note. The thing that came up mostly for me had a lot to do with qualifications, which I literally just a moment ago jotted down a layer deeper that I think is really interesting too, but it's sometimes about, like, what we traditionally think of as qualifications, like what's on your resume, what's your degree in, but also just like claiming, being able to claim that you can try something new, that your skills are broader than a very traditional way of thinking, saying I can be a coach. I can coach people effectively, even if I'm new. I can apply for this job, even if it's not something I've really done before. But I think people get stuck into a really narrow idea of what they're capable of. Mm-hmm. And I've really been thinking of it in terms of what people think they're capable of and trying to expand that for them. But the note I just made was what they're allowed to try or claim, I think, is really what it comes down to. Are you allowed to try something new? Do you feel like you, like society or community or whatever, allows you to try something new or claim to be someone different or, you know, an expert when you don't have 10 years of experience under your belt or whatever? So that's, yeah. What are you really qualified and allowed to do?
Yeah.
How can you step into that?
It reminds me, Jamie, of like the moments that we ritualize in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
You've got pregnant, you're getting married, you know, it's the, you know, all of these kind of things. It's like, oh, can we celebrate that someone is like leaving work to travel around the world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe not in the time of climate emergency, but you know what I mean? Like, can we celebrate that someone actually, you know, put a boundary in place and honored it?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like, and I think of that as kind of cross-pollinating into this idea of what am I qualified for? It's like, mm-hmm. What matters? Right. What do we say matters? Like, if we say that qualifications are things that you get a certificate for and you can put on your wall, then it's kind of like there's a poverty of imagination there, right? Yeah.
Ooh, I love that, poverty of imagination. That's exactly it. Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Just narrow.
Yeah.
Here's what you can do. Here's what you should do. And all of this is like off limits. Is all this? Like, you know, people get into like their track and then yes. It's like, ooh, that's, forget about what all is out here.
Well, and seeking out people that have gone a windy path and how, like, that can normalize things for us. I was listening to Hannah Gatsby be interviewed by, what's the New York Times guy? Oh, my God, I can't remember his name. Anyway, Vox podcast, and it's Hannah Gatsby gets interviewed, and she talks about, like, her career, which because she only recently had a diagnosis of autism, but she's like, oh, that helped me make total sense of how, you know, I got a job in a supermarket at high school and I really couldn't cope with it. Like, people who work in supermarkets are masters of conflict resolution, you know. And she talked about all the different skills that she picked up along the way that helped her to navigate when she was on stage. That just made me realize, oh, it really is a poverty of imagination. Like, she was so bloody qualified by the time she got on the stage that to be able to manage a crowd, because she worked in, you know, picking fruit with often itinerant workers, mostly men, often abusive, right? It's like she had that capacity to really take on the sometimes unforgiving comedy stage audience. And it was just listening to her talk like that, I was thinking, wow, we really don't give people credit for all of the qualifications that they gain along the way or the skills that they gain along the way. Mm-hmm. And so I just share that because it feels to me like, you know, maybe that's a way in. Hey, did you know that this person who's known for this actually did this first?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the types of skills that are valued too, right? Like, I mean, that's huge, obviously, and certainly influenced by patriarchal norms and everything. But yeah. Like, what's qualified? Is it the thing on your wall, or is it the fact? Is it conflict resolution? Is it emotional intelligence? Exactly. Is it good listening skills? I have a whole new career because I realized I was good at asking questions and listening. That's not on a CV. So,
but it can be very powerful to have on your website, right?
Yeah, right.
So, and that becomes our CV in a way, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So I think this is the thing, is to really, and what you said earlier was really interesting, like, you know, because the rest of the world is following this kind of traditional route of what qualifications look like, that actually as soon as we claim it, like, I'm just really bloody good at this. And sometimes I don't even have to tell you that I'm good at it, I'll just show you if there are environments to do that, right? That we kind of claim our, like, uncertificated qualifications so that the world can kind of see that that's just who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that point, Steph. Yeah. About who even is qualified, right? Sometimes the people that say they are aren't. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. It's a great theme to follow. I think that thread is a really cool one to pull on, Jamie. It's great. Yeah. Especially in your work around like trusting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Next step. Yeah. Cool. So I'm hoping that, you know, these questions and conversations are starting to get you to think a little bit more broadly, right, about how can you talk about where your clients are, where your prospective clients are before they are working with you. What is their experience of the world like? You know, and the more detailed you can get with that, I think sometimes the more universal it is. Like, often we want to be so broad stroke that we kind of almost don't say anything. But the more detailed you can get, the more of a storyteller you can become around where your clients are at. The more that you are actually painting a picture of their world so that they can make that link, right? Well, maybe you can help me. Maybe there is hope. Right. So for the next part of this, we're going to do another couple of self-reflection questions, and then we're going to get into groups. But what we want to explore now is, what does your healthy self know to be true about your clients' challenges? So I've got three prompts for you, and we're just going to take sort of 5-6 minutes here. You could spend the time just writing on one, or you could spend a couple of minutes on all three. But just think about this. Dear client, here's what I know about your challenge. Here's what I wish you knew. And here's what I see in your future post-coaching, right? After you work with me, this is what I see as possible. So just jot down some ideas that come up for you. What does your healthy self know to be true about where your clients are at? I'm just going to pause the recording while you enjoy writing. Okay, so hopefully you've got some ideas from your healthy self around what's going on. I wonder if anyone wants to share like what that was like to just kind of try and write from your healthy self and speak to your client. What came up? Yeah, Steph.
So I'm like the queen of being gullible with my clients. I think I've said this before. So like, they'll be like, oh yeah, I was going to do that. But then like my mother-in-law was in town or whatever. And I'm like, oh, that sounds like a very good reason. Good job. Like, you know, and I know always that like, there's always going to be something. There's right. always going to be something big or small. It doesn't matter. And so it was kind of fun to just write it down, like the stuff that I would like to just tell clients, but never do.
Right. Yeah. So, well, and it's kind of fun, right? Because your clients know they're doing that. So it could be fun to even say, right, so the last 5 times I've sent you homework, that hasn't happened. So what's coming up this week that might stop you from doing this? Yeah. Well, and we talk a little bit about this, we do talk about this in module 10, as we're looking at like goals and plans and like obstacles that come up and why we don't do things when we say we're going to. But yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting, it might be interesting to think about, why do you think they don't do what they say they want to do?
Do you want me to answer that or?
I'm wondering, why do you think they don't do it?
Well, that was the number one reason I joined this program, because I think all of this stuff is the reason that they don't do things and they don't understand what that is internally. So there's a lot of external blame for circumstances. Like they become a victim of their circumstances rather than making those different little choices and understanding why they're being that victim as opposed to feeling resourced.
And, you know, I think it's so fun when we call people out, right? Like you could even say, like I can see a post of, you know, when you don't do what you say you're going to do, who do you blame? And then talk, you know, extrapolate that out, you know, like it's the mother-in-law visiting or the kids or whatever. And it's like, there's always going to be an excuse. Notice that. Like, and it's always going to feel really important. So, you know, it's almost like, let's ask a better question. Like, why aren't you prioritizing your dreams? What are you afraid might happen? So a really fun, as you start to kind of do this work, right, where you're starting to kind of pull apart, like, why our clients do need us, you know, is to Toyota did this thing for root cause analysis where they just kept asking why 5 times, like why did that happen. And sometimes that can be a fun way to get to this, but why don't they do that, or do they do that? And you usually get some really kind of, you know, good juicy stuff that's underneath the surface. Just and all we're trying to do here is make the link between where our clients are at and how we can help. You know, so that as you start to kind of share this with people, you've got some really, you know, useful specific things to be able to say, hey man, I know you, I see you, all of that stuff underneath there. Because, you know, I guess one of the things that I really want us to do as coaches is start telling the truth to our clients. Like, yes, there are enough. Yes, we believe in them wholeheartedly. And who are you blaming when you don't do your own stuff? Because as soon as you let go of having to blame someone else and come up with an excuse and just tell yourself the truth, I didn't want to do it, or I'm scared to do it, or procrastination gets in the way and I'm embarrassed, it's like then we can deal with that. You know? Yeah. So fun. Love that you had a little rant on the page, Steve. It sounds like that was cathartic. Yeah. Anyone else want to share what's come up, what they're noticing about their clients, what their healthy self knows about their clients?
I think it's sort of similar, picking up that theme. There's a knowing that they're not broken, there's nothing wrong with them, and just because it feels hard doesn't mean it's wrong, and because it feels messy doesn't mean anything's gone wrong. So that is what I know about them. And I also know that they are responsible for themselves and they have choice.
Yeah.
Because I think somewhere a lot of my clients is overworking in the corporate world. So there's a story, I need to break the glass ceiling. I'm not valuable unless I've broken the glass ceiling. I have to be da, 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 whatever. And then it's unfair because it's there's bias and discrimination, so it's unfair. So I get clients in that space between poor me, it's unfair, and just, so who are you blaming?
Yeah.
Because it is true, it's not neutral. Reality is not neutral, the environment, but who are you blaming and keeping yourself?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So so that's the dichotomy, is you're not broken, there's nothing wrong with you, you're enough, right? Bigger, bolder CEO title doesn't make a better life. And maybe there's my own bias there, wanting to drop out and go to Byron Bay and smoke dope and leave the corporate world. So I have to be careful between the dropping out, or is it the scapegoat? It's too hard. And what's the balance? I'm not sure.
I think you're hitting on it there, Melissa. What's the balance, right? Because I think that for a lot of folks who are in that overworking space, they see the only option is to drop, quit, and run.
Yeah. Drop, quit, and run, or keep going, yeah. And then blame the circumstances that I'm not where I think I should be, right?
Do you know, I wrote a post not long after I left the corporate world about the fantasy of the cabin in the woods. You know, like how many people I know have a fantasy of just leaving everything behind and having a simple life, forgetting that they just take themselves with them.
Yeah, which I'm about to do, but it's about my client, not me, right?
But But this is something to talk about with your clients. Clients that move jobs a lot, you know, it's often the same kind of fantasy, right? And those are kind of perfectionist fantasies that the bystander loves those. When this happens, then I'll be okay. Yeah. Amazing. Thanks for sharing, Melissa. So that's you with countries. Love it. What we're going to do now is to really like pull this together a little more. We're going to get into small groups. We're just going to spend sort of 6-7 minutes each. So we're just going to do this for sort of 20 minutes as groups to look at, like, what are the tools I can use to really help bring this to my client's world? Like, how can I share this work? How can I help my clients to make this connection for themselves? Right. So you may want to think about, what tools can I use with my clients? What feels like a really, you know, great way of starting to structure out what self-belief coaching might look like for my clients? What's a way that in for me? And then if you're observing, you're also sharing, right? It's like, oh, and have you thought about this? And what about this? I can see you doing this, right? So when you're sharing, you want to just say, these are the clients I work with, kind of bottom line it for people. So you've got a relatively clear vision, you know, I help people with this, or I help these kinds of people with these kinds of challenges. And then start to kind of just riff on, here's what I know to be true. Here's where my clients are at. This is what I think would help. Right. And the experience of just saying it out loud can be super cathartic and can help you pull these things together, and getting that feedback from folks that you may not have had this conversation with before. Okay. So I'm just going to pause. Okay. So does anyone want to share anything that came up? How you're like pulling all of these things together? Have you got something that you're kind of taking away to explore a little further? Where are you at? Does anyone want to share?
I think there's so many beautiful parallels in the work. And honestly, what I really leave feeling is just so excited for this as coaches, but also just for the people that we, you know, that we'll get to connect with and share with, and the expansion that will happen there It's very exciting and hopeful.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm with you. I think this is the thing that we start to see is that our work is like just a slightly different, you know, refraction of light that's pointing at the same sun, you know? It's like all of that kind of stuff just starts to take hold. So, yeah, nice, Laurie. Thank you. Anyone else want to share anything that came up? Yeah, Sal.
What seems to me to keep coming up is just getting things on paper, you know, just that the client has most all of the answers themselves and they just need our some really helpful questions, and then just to get it out of here and in front of them so that they and we can help them to see patterns which then reveal the protective beliefs or the because as I was writing down the things about my clients, I don't know if it's because we're sat here in a self-belief coaching class, but you're a little bit, oh shit, everything actually is self.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's now just a new lens that we're looking through, but this idea of mapping, whatever you're mapping, just get it out. And some of the tools you've given us, we're all then sort of saying, well, you could use the positive and negative about a whole range of things. One Steph was talking about excuses, so we said, well, let's look at some excuses that actually were worth, you know, I said I wanted to be at my daughter's graduation, so if that stopped me from doing something, that was a body compass, full body yes. So rather than thinking every excuse I make was a bad one, just so seeing how all of the tools can layer, that a body compass and a map and a this and a that could all come together.
Yeah. I love this. Sal, because it sounds like you're saying to see, oh, it really doesn't matter. Like,
yes.
You know, like there's no wrong or right way. It's like, how can I help my client make sense of this? How can I help my client feel more resourced to do something that supports their healthy self?
Yeah.
Perfect. Job done. I know it's taken us a long time to get there. But yeah, that's great. That's great. And I honestly think that when we embody that energy of it doesn't matter what you bring, dear client, I got you. It's like that gets transmitted somehow. That's part of the magic of it all. But when we really own that and like, it's okay, whatever you bring, we'll figure it out. Nothing's gone wrong, right? And both of us are gonna fumble about in the dark for a little bit, and then we'll find something that is like, yeah, that's the thing. And we'll both feel that, and then we'll find out, you know, where to go next.
Yeah, that we're not the expert. We might be experts at guiding or asking thought-provoking questions, but you are the expert on you. But it can be hard when you're so close to yourself.
Completely. I mean, I'm now working with three different coaches in three different areas of my life. I've never felt more supported, and I've never felt more I need these tools. And it took me a really long time to recognize. And two of these are communities. One is a one-to-one coach, but. It just took me a really long time to realize that I'm looking for the same thing that I provide. And I don't think that, you know, that means necessarily everybody needs that, for sure. But there have been times in my life where I just thought, oh God, I'm really in this alone and I don't quite know how to make sense of it. Even as like a, you know, trained professional, still having those moments. So what must it be like for our clients, you know? So as soon as we like sell ourselves on this work and go, oh man, it's so much more helpful. What a privilege it is to be able to find somebody who can help me advocate for myself and the things that I want. That's just going to get me there so much faster and be so much easier and way more fun to do it with someone else than struggle through, you know? Yeah, it's good times. Coaching is good times. Yeah. Okay, everybody. I'm super glad we got to do this, and I hope this is helpful. Like, I think sometimes just having that like concentrated time where it's like this is all we're doing right now can be really helpful too. As Sal very wisely says, just get it on paper. Don't try and do this all in your own head, you know, or think that you know light bulb is going to go off somehow. You know, it's like I think Einstein said, "I hope inspiration finds me working." You know. We kind of need to be in the game to get those ideas and follow those threads. So don't be afraid to just kind of sit down and go, okay, today I'm gonna figure this bit out. It's all good. So next week we start module 10, our last module in the curriculum part of the self-belief coaching process. And it's all about goals. Actually, you know, setting goals, setting plans that are doable to achieve them, a process of really supporting our clients to do that. I think it's going to be super fun. Well, I really encourage you guys to start thinking about what the goal you have over the next 30 days. It can be really fun to start playing with that. And we will, after module 10, we have a call that's all about certification and ongoing support for you and coach match and all those good things are getting you clients. And then we have our final closing circle just for the curriculum. And then we move into like monthly support calls, which are more about, you know, how are you implementing this with clients? What's going on? You can stay connected for as long as you want. Right? I'm not going anywhere. So yeah, if you're up for it, then bring it. Okay, lovely woman, you take care of yourselves. I'll see you next week. Yeah? Okay. Be well. Bye-bye.